We do thank the Lord for the privilege that He has bestowed upon us, just to think that we, who are we, that we are privileged to come to remember the Lord and to worship. Sometimes we think that by doing so, the Lord is privileged by us. But what a wrong concept that is. Just to think the great God, the Creator, is our Redeemer. Just to think that we sinners, worthy of nothing but death, and yet, through the redemption of our Lord Jesus, through the mercy of God, by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, that we are privileged to be children of God. That we are privileged to remember Him because we know Him. We are privileged to worship Him. How worthy He is. I would like to read a few places in the New Testament. Please turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. They were all these here and there, not continuous. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1. Then after a lapse of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus also with me. Verse 3. The leader was Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, compelled to be circumcised. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. I had no rest in my spirit at not finding Titus my brother. But bidding them adieu, I came away to Macedonia. Chapter 7. Of 2 Corinthians. Verse 6. But he who encourages those that are brought low, even God, encouraged us by the coming of Christ. Verse 13. For this reason we have been encouraged. And we the rather rejoice in our encouragement more abundantly by reason of the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. Verse 14. Because if I boasted to him anything about you, I have not been put to shame, but as we have spoken to you all things in truth, so also our boasting in Titus has been the truth. Chapter 8, verse 6. So that we baptize Titus, that according as he had before begun, so he will also complete, as to you this grace also. Verse 16. For thanks be to God, who gave the same diligent zeal for you in the heart of Titus. Verse 23. Whether as regards Titus, he is my companion and fellow laborer in your behalf, or our brethren, they were deputed messengers of assembly, Christ's glory. Chapter 12. verse 18. I baptized and sent the brother with him. Did Titus at all make gain of you? Have we not walked in the same spirit? Have we not in the same sect? 2 Timothy. Chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved the present age, and is gone to Thessalonica, Cretan to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Then the letter to Titus. Chapter 1, verse 4. To Titus, my own child, according to the faith common to us, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. I guess after we have read these passages, you know what we are going to tell us this tonight. Last time when we were together, we mentioned that the three latest letters written by Paul have a very unique place in the Word of God. And these three letters are 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. These letters were all written most probably after Paul's release from his first Roman imprisonment and before he was taken into prison again and thus be martyred. So these three letters were the latest letters written by Paul that we have in the New Testament. Even though these three letters were all addressed to his associates, those who worked with him, Timothy and Titus. And yet you'll find in all of these three letters, he dealt with this matter of church government. Or to put it in another way, the Lord has raised up churches in many places. And now we are told how we ought to behave in the house of God. We are members of the body of Christ. How should we act as members of the body of Christ? What is expected of us? And for this reason, you'll find these three letters are very practical. These three letters are relevant to us today. Now, last time we shared together a little bit on 1 Timothy. God willing, this time we would like to fellowship on Titus. Now, before we go into this letter of Titus, of course, we must first of all know a little bit of the life of Titus. You know, it is very strange. In the whole book of Exodus, Titus' name was never mentioned, even once. Paul had a number of companions. A number of people worked with him. And their names were mentioned one after another. But three, you cannot find the name of Titus in the book of Exodus. And yet you know he was there. There was no doubt he was there. But the name was not mentioned. school was taken. We are told that Titus was a Greek. He was born of Greek parents. He was not like Timothy. Timothy had a Greek father and a Jewish mother. And because of that, you remember when Paul took Timothy with him on his missionary trip, the first thing he did, he had Timothy circumcised. But with Titus, it was different. Why? Because both his father and his mother were Gentiles. Titus was a Gentile, a pure Gentile, a Greek. The first mentioning of Titus in the Bible, so far as time is concerned, is in Galatians chapter 2. Evidently, Titus was of Antioch of Syria. You remember, during the persecution in Jerusalem, many believers began to scatter all over, and some of them went to Antioch. And there the Lord began to save many Gentiles. So finally, Barnabas went to visit them. And Barnabas saw what the Lord was doing there. He was the son of consolation. He was a man with a great heart. And when he saw what the Lord was doing, he was so joyful. And he stayed with them. He labored among them. He strengthened them. And then he realized this work was just too much for him alone. So he went to find Saul of Tarsus. And he brought Saul to Antioch with him. And together they labored for a whole year. And something happened. The world began to realize here were a people entirely different from anything that had ever witnessed in this world. It was not Judaism. What was it? Finally, some people say these were Christians. And that's the beginning of our name. Evidently, Titus was of Antioch, of Syria. It was through the ministry of the Apostle Paul that Titus was brought to the Lord Jesus. Why? Because in the letter to Titus, Paul addresses as my own child, my own son, according to our common faith. Titus was brought to the Lord through Paul. But nothing was mentioned of it. Until a very serious problem happened to the church in Asia. Some Jewish believers, they came from Jerusalem. And when they came from Jerusalem to Antioch, they began to tell the believers in Antioch that they must be circumcised. If they are not circumcised as the Jews were circumcised, they are not saved. In other words, you have to be a Jew before you can become a Christian. This Judaizing happened in Antioch. And the problem became so serious. There was argument among the believers there. So finally, the brethren decided, since it came from Jerusalem, it had to be solved in Jerusalem. So the brethren arranged to send Paul and Barnabas, and also some of the brethren, to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders there, to settle this matter, whether a Gentile must be first become a Jew first before they come, they can be saved. A very serious problem. Not only Paul and Barnabas went, they took a few brothers with them to strengthen their conviction. Now this you'll find in Acts chapter 15. Now who were these some of the brethren they took along with them? When you read Galatians chapter 2, you find Paul said he went to Jerusalem by revelation. God gave him revelation. God wanted him to Jerusalem in order to keep the purity of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, that the gospel might not be adulterated, might not be altered, be changed. He went to Jerusalem by revelation. It was a tremendous thing. And he said, I took Titus along with me. So of some of the brethren who went with Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, Titus was one of them. Now why did they take these brothers with them? Paul and Barnabas surely could present their case so efficiently. There was no need to take anybody else with them to help them to argue their case before their brethren in Jerusalem. They wouldn't need such help. Then why should they take some with them from the church in Antioch? Why did they take Titus in particular with them? Why? To argue a case is one thing, but to present evidence is another. Very often you'll find, no matter how well you argue, if you do not have good evidence, you will not win the case. So here you'll find Paul and Barnabas, as they went to Jerusalem, they were well prepared to argue their case, that is, to present the pureness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A Gentile does not need to be Judaized first in order to be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of grace, is such that he can be saved as a Gentile. They were well prepared to present the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they failed. They needed to take along with them some of the specimens of the power of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And Titus was one of the best specimens they could get in Antioch. Here was a young man. By all indications, Titus was a young man. Well, he must be older than Timothy. That's true. And yet you find Titus was a young man. He wasn't saved but for a few years. But within a few years, the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ has so transformed that person. There was absolutely no doubt about it. Here was a man who was a perfect witness to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A young man is saved by grace. Worthy to be presented as evidence. Now you know this was a tremendous thing. Why? Because they went to Jerusalem, where the church began. They went to see the apostles, the 12 apostles, who followed the Lord Jesus when the Lord was on earth. They went there, and there was this great council, where this big, this tremendous problem was to be argued. And the effect of that will reach even to us today. And think, a few of them, and especially a young man, he was to be there not to talk, but to stand there. Let people see that without being Judaized, he could be transformed. Now think of it. If it should happen to us today, suppose you are chosen to be that testimony. And here you'll find all these great apostles and these who have known the Lord for many years, and they were argued back and forth, and sometimes with some heat too. And there you were standing by there to serve as a witness. Probably your knees were knocked against each other. Probably you were cut off. Because the pressure was tremendous. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you only think of it. The pressure was tremendous. And the issue was so far-reaching. And yet this man, young man, was so steady, so firm. There was a character in that young man. He could stand, face the challenge, and judgment. A perfect specimen of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wasn't that something? And they won the case. Not only through the presentation of Paul and Barnabas, of course they presented their case well, but also because everybody could see what the Lord had done in them. They are not And Paul said, even Titus was not the confinement. They came out victorious. Not for themselves. Paul said that the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ might be preserved. Thank God for the faithfulness of Paul and Barnabas. Thank God for that strength that Titus. Suppose Paul and Barnabas argue very well, and here you'll find his evidence is just tumbled down. What will happen? That was the first mentioning of Paul. Dear brothers and sisters, I think there is a definite lesson for us to learn here. Do not think because we are young. Do nothing because we may have known the Lord only a few years. Now, in one sense, it is true. Spiritual growth requires time. That is true. There is no such thing as instant spirituality. You know, people today all like to be instant. Oh, I do not blame you here to have instant coffee. But when I discovered there's instant tea, I was just shocked. Everybody just cannot, you know, orientation, want to be innocent. And sure enough, in Christianity today, you'll find there are many, many recipes for innocent spirituality. Oh, and how people go after these things. No such thing. Spirituality needs time. It needs time to grow. That is true. But on the other hand, because the return of the Lord is so imminent, we do not have too much time. Therefore, it can be speeded up a little. As a matter of fact, it is not speeding up, it is not slowing down. That's what it is. You remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, you ought to be grown up. After a few years, you are still babes. Think of that, after a few years. And the writer to the letter of Hebrews did the same thing. According to time, you ought to be teachers. But now you have to be fed with milk because your spiritual organs were not exercised to absorb solid food. Dear brothers and sisters, it is not a matter of speeding up. It is a matter of not slowing down. The growth among believers is too slow. Delayed, postponed, retarded. We have too many retarded growth. That is the problem. After we have known the Lord for a few years, we ought to be like if we allow the grace of God to work in our lives, you cannot tell what God can do with you in a few years. And if God gives you more years, praise God what He can do with you in more years. It is one thing to argue for the gospel. It is another thing to prove the power of the gospel. Oftentimes we may talk with people. We may tell people of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How marvelous, how wonderful is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We may talk and we may tell them. But dear brothers and sisters, if we do not live before them as a specimen of the gospel, who will be? Do we know that when the grace of God comes upon us, we are supposed to be the evidence of the gospel of Jesus? If in our lives we cannot make people see what the Lord has done, what grace has done, what power He has transformed us, dear brothers and sisters, no matter how eloquent we are in arguing our case, we have failed the Lord. So it ought to be a kind of encouragement. Brothers and sisters, if only we can give ourselves to the Lord in such a way, and let the grace of God have no hindrance in our life, let the Spirit of God have free way with us, within a few years, we can be teachers. Within a few years, there can be such a Christian character developed in us that we can stand before the world and fear not. And this is what is needed today. As a matter of fact, you'll find later on, the very usefulness of Titus is in this area. God's first work in the life of this young man, a Christian character, a strength, a steadiness, a firmness, a practicality. God first worked all these things in that young man. And later on you'll find it is in this very area that God was using. Do we wish that God would use us? God cannot use you in an area where you have not allowed Him to work in you. Moses had to be delivered out of Egypt first before he could be used by God to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. No one who remained in Egypt is able to deliver anybody out of Egypt. God has to work what He wants to use you in you first. And after He has wrought that into your very life, brothers and sisters, your life is your ministry. Oftentimes we think that we want to be used of God. We want to serve God. We think that we can do this or go there or be trained in this or know that. Then we can be used of God. No such thing. The best training is you allow God to work His work in you. And in whatever area you allow Him to work in you, that will be the area that He will use. This is the only way to spiritual ministry. But after the Titus appears in Jerusalem, we find there was no mentioning of Titus again for a number of years. When Paul went out to his missionary trip, Titus was not there. Where was Titus? Evidently, Titus returned from Jerusalem and stayed on in Antioch for a period. He was needed in Antioch to help strengthen the church there. And he needed to stay in Antioch to be built up with the brothers and sisters. So for another period, he was left in Antioch while Paul was on his missionary trip. It was until the third missionary trip of Paul. Then you'll find Titus was with him. When Paul went out on the third missionary trip, Titus was there with him. In other words, the way that God trained that young man was put him back into the assembly. Let him be a strength to the assembly, as well as receive strength from them. Now we will say a person like Titus, after he was chosen to be that testimony, to be that witness, to be that specimen, and what a success he was. Now we will think certainly Paul would take him along and exhibit him everywhere.
And certainly, Titus will say, well, I am fully qualified now. If I could stand the test in Jerusalem, of course I can stand the test anywhere. And probably he will become restless and say, Antioch is just too small for me. I am ordained for greater things. Isn't that natural? But God's way is higher than man's way. And he was used by God in such a tremendous way, and even today we reap the benefit of it. And yet, he was put back into the church in Antioch. Hidden. Unknown. Unmentioned. Unsung once again. Probably that testing is more difficult than standing before the council in Jerusalem. Young brothers and sisters, can you stand the test of being unknown? After you are known. If the Lord has never used you before, how long that you may be used. But suppose the Lord used you once. Does it ever come into your mind that he may lay you aside again? Or do you expect him just to take you out and tour the world? When God trains a man, he trains him thoroughly. God is not in a hurry. Titus was put back into the church in Antioch. Left. As if Paul was not grateful to the help he received from Titus. But thank God, this young man, no complaint, no murmur, there he was with the church in Antioch, trying to be built together with the brothers and sisters there, and try to be a strength to the church there. There he learned the life of the church. Brothers and sisters, there are two things you need to learn. One is you need to learn what the grace of God can do to your life. Number two, you need to learn how to be built together with your brothers and sisters in the church. Unless you learn these two things, your usefulness will be limited. Will not be balanced. So here you'll find Titus, for a few years, he learned the grace of God in his life and became a perfect specimen of it. And yet, there's another side he had to learn. He had to learn to be unknown, unsung, unremembered. Just one of the brothers and sisters in the church in Antioch. But to be built up together. To learn submission. To learn authority. To learn divine order. And to learn all these things with the brothers and sisters. Not because he stood out. Therefore, he did not need to be dealt with other people. He had to be humble. And he built up with brothers and sisters. And how he learned within those few years. And do you know what? That was another area that God used. In
you read the letter to Titus, you will find these two aspects are the very work that God entrusted to him. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to know the grace of God. We need to grow in Christ Jesus. We need to develop such a steady, strong Christian character that we may stand before the world. We need that. But oftentimes, when a person gets to that, he becomes so sure of himself that he refuses to be related to his brother. Here you'll find all these three languages. Thinking that now they are ready for everything. No, no. There must be a period when one is to be trained, learn relatedness with the brothers and sisters. Learn to submit to one another in the fear of Christ. Learn the divine order in the family of God. And learn it in a practical way, not theoretically, in a practical way. And then St. Paul went out the third time. You'll find he took Titus. The second mentioning of Titus in the Bible is found in 2 Corinthians. As a matter of fact, you know, in the second missionary trip, Paul made Corinth his headquarters, as it were. He was in Corinth for a year and 6 months. And now in his third trip, he made Ephesus his headquarters. But from Ephesus, he got news of the church in Corinth. There were people coming from the church there to Ephesus, and they brought that news to Paul. There you'll find these Corinthian believers, they were very carnal. Very gifted, but very carnal. They were not behind anybody in this. And yet they were so carnal as to say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and others say, no, I'm of Christ in a special way. Division. And not only division, but there was universal rumor. Oh, some sin committed there that was not even known among the nations. And yet the church took it as if nothing happened. Not only that wicked man did not repent, the whole church, the conscience of the whole church was asleep. As if everything was all right. Nothing. And then brothers went to court the two brothers. And at the same time, Paul received letters from Corinth. They had certain questions. They argued among themselves and they could not solve. So they wrote a letter to Paul and asked Paul to answer their questions. Paul could not go to Corinth because he was put by God in Ephesus. He could not leave Ephesus. He would go to Corinth if he could. But he couldn't. So finally he wrote a letter to the church in Corinth. But who was the carrier of the letter? Here was the sad situation in Christ. A church had lots of problems. not only problems, but these Corinthian believers, some of them were so proud. They even looked down upon the Apostle Paul. Now, who could he send to bring that letter to the church in Corinth? Whom could he trust with such a letter? It was a heavy letter, a weighty letter. When Paul wrote the letter, he told us in wax. He said many tears. But he had to write such a strong letter to them. And he did not know whether they would receive it or not. Everything was hanging there in the balance. He needed someone whom he could trust to bring the letter, not just as a carrier of letter, but to be there to help. Whom could he find? Whom could he send? He sent Titus with the first letter to the Corinthians. He sent Titus there not only to deliver the letter, but to stay there and help to solve. To open the door for Paul to preach the gospel in Titus, Paul was so disturbed, he just couldn't stay there. So he went on to Macedonia. All the work of Paul. How could you do that? The Lord opened an open door for you, and that's where you should be. How could you be so disturbed? Oh, we think a spiritual person can never be disturbed. But Paul was greatly disturbed by not being present. How human. And yet, after Paul said, I didn't see Titus, so I couldn't stay there and work. I just move on. And yet Paul says, thank be unto God that we are crying in Christ everywhere. He said, praise the Lord. Dear Christ. I want to explain that because that will take another session. But anyway, you'll find Paul went to Macedonia. Now, why was Titus delayed? Why did not Titus keep the plan? The reason was, Titus went there not only to deliver the letter, but he was determined to help these comrades. And it took him longer than he thought. He wouldn't leave until he finished his mission. So what happened? And not only that, Titus was a person who always looked at the bright side. When Titus went there, of course he was faced with all these difficult people, and yet, Paul said, when Titus came into your midst, he was refreshed because of your obedience. There were still people not obedient. But Titus always looked at the gospel. You know, some people always look at the gospel. Now, if you always look at the gospel, you will not be able to fulfill your mission. Why? You say, well, that's too difficult. Let me go now. Probably you will be in prayer earlier than Paul. But not Titus. No. He was able to look at the bright side. He was able to trust the Lord. The Lord was working. Even though when he returned, the work was not finished, completely finished, but more or less finished, because so far as the church was concerned, the church had returned. But there were still people opposing to Paul. You know, still some people there. And if they were hostile to Paul, no doubt they were hostile to Paul. Titus didn't have an easy time there. And yet, of all difficulties, Titus was firm, steady, strong, because God had worked in him first. Not because he was. Because
see himself. That's right. Because in the past year, he allowed the Lord to work all these things in his life. Dear brothers and sisters, we do not know how much the Lord, or how much we allow the Lord to work in us until we are tested. Until we are put into a very difficult situation, then it will bring out how much really the Lord is in. Many other people probably will fall. Will sleep, but not. He remained there, and not only that, when he came back finally and met Paul in Macedonia, Paul said, I was refreshed by and by the news that he brought that he was a carrier of good news from a man of faith, a man of hope, a man of love. Even though he must have a difficult time there, and yet his love for these Corinthian believers was increased even more. When Paul decided to send him back to finish something that he started there, in the administration of the faith, Paul said, we begged him to go back. Paul said, actually, he wanted to go back himself. Because he loved him. He had a beautiful life. Oh, brother, if I were sent to Corinth, one time is nothing. Paul said, don't send me back again. Send another person. I cannot stand the second time. But not. Not only Paul said, I beg him to go back. Paul said, no, really, I don't need to end him. He wants to go back. Because he has confidence. What a strength in that man. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, how we need people like Titus today. We need people with strength. We need people with courage. We need people with us. We need. That's the second Corinthians. A great part of disappeared from record. We have heard nothing about Titus again for a number of years. Where was Titus? Paul went to Jerusalem. Paul was taken captive. He was in Caesarea for 2 years in prison. And then he traveled as a prisoner to Rome, and he was in Rome 2 years in his own place. Until he was released, where was Titus? No mention. Oh, there was Timothy always there. Always there. But Titus was not. Did Titus desert Paul? Not at all. Where was he? We don't know. I personally feel that probably Titus all these years stayed in Corinth. Where the need was greatest, there he was. Of course, personally, we would like to be with Paul, traveling around, see the world. Be a big missionary. No. That was not Titus. Titus was a I personally feel that all these years, after he got the second letter to Corinth, I personally feel he should stay there. He felt there was a need in the church there, and he stood there with those brothers and sisters who wanted to go on with the Lord. He wanted to see the glory of the Lord in that promise. His personal interest was nothing to him. The Lord's interest above everything. But after Paul was released from the Roman prison, Titus appeared in this form. Paul, after he was released, he traveled. And he came to the island of Crete. And there were a number of churches in a number of cities. God willing, we will mention that probably tomorrow. But anyway, you'll find Paul went through the island of Crete, and he found churches there, but these churches had lots of problems. But Paul couldn't stay there. He would if he could. That was Paul. He wanted to help. But he couldn't stay there long because there was too much work to do elsewhere. He had to go on. So what did he do? He left Titus behind to take care of all the unfinished business. It seems as if Titus never had a good time. First you'll find he was in Jerusalem. Oh, he had a terrible time there. These goody-eyed advisors. Oh, look at him, the teacher. Where did you come from? He didn't have a good time there in Jerusalem. And then he didn't have a good time in Corinth. And now Paul left in Crete, and he couldn't have a good time there. It seems as if Titus was always put in a difficult situation. But that was what God trained him for. Of all those people who traveled with Paul, aside from Paul himself, Titus was the only one who could help them. He was the only one who could finish the unfinished business. So Paul left him there, and of course Paul knew his heart. So you know, he did not leave him there too long. He wrote and said, come, as soon as I send somebody else to replace you, to continue the help, as soon as Tychicus or another one will come, then you come immediately to join me and Nicopolis. I intend to leave her. How gracious of Paul. So evidently he wasn't in Crete for a long time. He was there until he was replaced. And then he went to join Paul in Nicopolis, home for the moment. But even that was not long. For in 2 Timothy you find Paul said, Titus to Dalmatia. Most likely there was another church in problem. So I think Paul sent it out. So when Paul was martyred, Titus was not here. It was great time. But the Lord interest. Lord interest. Titus was a practical man. Dear brothers and sisters, to use a modern word, I feel Titus was a troubleshooter. The Lord raised him up to be a troubleshooter. And as a matter of fact, wherever you go,
Is there any church that has no problem? You cannot find it. You cannot find a perfect church on this earth. You can only find it in eternity. In the holy city of the New Jerusalem. But here on earth, you cannot find a church that is perfect. And wherever you go, you will find there will be problems. Praise God for all these problems. Why, all these problems are God's opportunities. If these problems are faced rightly and solved, you'll find there will be increase and blessing. But we do need proper people. We do need people who are able to help. And that's the a vessel, an instrument that is very much needed in the church. Oh, brothers and sisters, it breaks my heart. When you visit church after church, and you see all the problems there, but there is no one who is able to accept you and help you. It is your heart. Why? Because we all take everything so easily. We are not willing to be disciplined, to be trained by the Lord. We all try to go off the easy way, as it is said. If you want to be used of the Lord, all for the sake of the Lord, that you may give yourself to the Lord and let His grace. That you may be with your brothers and sisters and be built in a practical way. Learn everything, deep and practical. Then, one day, the Lord says, I can use you because I have worked. And dear brothers and sisters, this is your purpose. Even today, people know more of Timothy than of Paul. How much do you know of Paul? You seem to know Timothy much better. Oh, he is more lovely, a lovely person, you know. But how many people know that? Of course, God raised up different things for different uses. That is true. But here you find, here is Christ. God is able to obtain a practical effect of use. And God can use him as a troubleshooter in all these difficult situations. My burden tonight is to say, my prayer is to say, that the Lord will learn comfort in the church. The church needs people like that. The Lord be merciful. Our Heavenly Father, we do praise and thank thee that in secret thou art training thy vessel. How we praise and thank thee that even though they are few, and yet they are some, we praise and thank thee thou art working in the lives of thy people, both individually and in order that
thou mayest have these sufferings fit for the master. O Lord, give these Titus to encourage us, that we may give ourselves to thee and allow thee to work in us. Lord, we do not seek for an easy way. We do not seek for an easy work. O Lord, if it pleases thee that thou shouldst send us to the most difficult place and situation, because thou dost deem that we are prepared for that, then Lord, thou will be done. But Lord, we know in ourselves we cannot do. O Lord, thou hast to do thy work in us before thou can do. And Lord, we are willing for that. We just commit ourselves to thee once again and pray that thou wilt, for thy church, raise up men like us. In the name of our Lord Jesus.